Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
greetings. You are tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Eldership of Zion, and your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all is well in your family circle. I hope and I pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. And I just want you to just get you a good seat. I am intending to present unto you what God has presented unto me. And that is a word from the Lord. I want you to get your digital devices and bring them aboard to the old ship of Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. I want you to get all your digital devices, may it be your computer, your laptop, your smartphone, your tablet, and bring them aboard because we are in need of them. Hallelujah. I want to take this time in this podium to thank those of you that continually to make the old ship of Zion a part of your listening program. And for doing so, God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. And Overseer Ward is just not talking, but this is God talking through me. God says he loves a cheerful giver. May it be your time or your talent. Whatever you present unto God, God in return rewards his faithful servant. So God is going to bless you for being a blessing unto this program. And I just want to take this opportunity once again to let you know that I have the chat room open for your sitting arrangement and your listening pleasure. And I'm just welcoming all of my guests, my friends, my kinship family, the precept family, the body of Christ, and all of you that are able to tune in on this afternoon. I welcome you, hallelujah, with the love of the Lord. And may God bless you as I know that he will, and only he can. So I just know that those of you that had went out to mass and various church services, I know that God met you there. So I'm intending for God to meet us here in this service on this afternoon. Hallelujah. And I just want you to get you a good seat. Hallelujah. Get your chip and your dip and whatever you want to sip. And allow me to minister the word of God unto you. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to now go into our opening prayer. And whenever we approach this stage, we fail not to acknowledge our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming Messiah. I want to present to some and introduce to others. He is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is a native of Nazareth, yet he was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. So we just want you to just bow your heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather together, God, in unity once again, God, around the spectrum. Father God, we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on is not our eternal destination. But we know that you have a home, hallelujah, that's not built by mortal man. But you are the craftsman, you are the creator. God, whenever you crack those clouds, God, we'll see you in all of your glory and all of your beauty, God. But until that time is upon us, we will continue in your will and in your way. We will continue to move up and upward and forward in your will, God. Mounting up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims traveling through this barren land. I'm asking you on this evening, God, to anoint these lips of clay hallelujah, able me, God, to bring a rhema word. So they then again may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name the glory and honor and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your mighty, marvelous name. And we'll let the church, the body of Christ, say amen and amen. Hallelujah. I am scheduled to be with you on this afternoon, 1 hour. And I might bump it up because I will bring unto you, the second phase of this program, that is the old hymns of Zion. And that is to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart to carry on into our next upcoming week. You know, we need God all the time. There is not a time that we will not need God. We need God in our day-to-day itinerary. Wherever we go, even through the house, we need God. We need God even in our garages. We need God in our gardening. We need God everywhere we go. Hallelujah. And so, like I said, I just think continually to have the old ship of Zion a part of your listening archive. And I just thank you from the depths of my very soul. And so we're going to go now. With any further ado, we're going to take you on into a live program already in progression. Hallelujah. And so our theme on tonight, or our sermon on tonight, this evening, wherever you are in the world, your corner, your block, it might be night, it might be evening, it might be morning, but on my end of the block, it is day. And so I say night because that's just term, but it is day. And Jesus tell us to work while it's day, because when night come, no man or woman can see how to work. So like I said, I sermon on today entitled, We Don't Need You. And so our focus point is we're talking about God. You know, we're living in a society that's high tech. We're living in a society to where it's a lot of people that are labeled as millionaires and billionaires. And I think now, if you're a millionaire, then you probably is not so important. But if your name have a B behind it, movers and shakers of our society. But, you know, in this world where, you know, it seems like men is running things and God is just up there in his dominion, just sitting with his hand folded. But I beg to differ, because the word of God says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And the word dwelled among you and I and us. So we know before anybody was able to call the shots, Jesus was caller. He was the baller. He's still the baller. He's still the shot caller in 2017. So we shouldn't get so high and mighty with our neck stiff and thinking that we're running things, because Jesus is running everything. He's running the temperature. He's running the earth. He's running heaven. He's running every individual that are in existence. Every individual that is breathing his breath. Because when you subtract his breath, and minds and ours, then we are stiff. We are no longer existing upon this planet. You find people in today's world tell God, we don't need you, Jesus. We got this. We got it all in control. Don't worry about it. You just sit tight and let me run this. Well, I'm here to set the record straight. God directs the wind and the waves. So God told the wind and he told the waves, peace, be still. That same God that gave authority to the wind and the waves when Peter and John, the apostles, were on the boat with Jesus and they were afraid. Jesus was taking a nap on the boat, but his disciples was yet afraid. And they said, God, you know, do you not care that we perish? And Jesus in return told them, ye of little faith. So why would you be afraid when you got this great, big, old, powerful Jesus on board? Don't you know you in safety? Don't you know you in the best company that you can ever be in? So I'm here to tell you on today that you take Jesus out the equation of our existence and you have void, V-O-I-D. You have nothing. Because without God, you are nothing. The Bible says you can do nothing, and you are nothing. But plus God, add God to your life, to your existence, your business affairs, the private sector, schools, to the university, colleges, to the dorms, to the daycare, to the Head Starts, and we have everything, positively everything that we'll ever need to survive on this planet. But you say, Jesus, we don't need you. So we're going to go right now and we're going to go into our first key scripture. And it reads like this. What injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? And that scripture reading is coming out of the law, Jeremiah 2 and 5. And you know, there's a story about a group of scientists who decided that human could do without God. So one of them looked up to God and said, we've decided that we no longer need you. We have enough wisdom to clone people and do many miraculous things. God listened patiently and then said, very well, let's have a man-making contest. We'll do it just like I did in the old days with Adam. The scientists agreed. One of them bent down and picked up a handful of dirt. God looked at him and said, no, you have to make your own dirt. So we see in Jeremiah days, the Israelites were living as if they no longer needed the Lord. They had entrusted themselves to other gods, even though their gods could not respond to their needs. Jeremiah confronted them about their rebellions, for they had forsaken the true God and shown disrespect for him. And that scripture reading, my sister and my brother, is coming out of the law of Jeremiah 2 and 13 and down to verse 19. And that's exactly what I am talking about and I'm appealing to you about, is that we're living in a society where we feel like we don't need God. Yet, without him, it would not be you and I and us. It would just simply be God and God alone. But you know, God looked back and he saw that the world was void and without existence. So God decided to put the moon and the stars in place, put the hills and the valleys in place. Then he knew that it needed substance and needed somebody to care for it. So God made man in his own image. and he produced Adam. Put Adam to sleep. Then he taken a rib out of Adam, and then God saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone. So God took a rib out of Adam while he was asleep. And then he created woman. And then he allowed Adam to even give Eve a name. And her name was Eve. Hallelujah. So God is the head honcho in this hemisphere, in this place we call planet Earth. And without God, we cannot, shall not do nothing. You see, we're under the guidelines. We're under the jurisdiction of God. That's where you and I move and groove and have our spiritual being. So we're going to get back into our scripture reading. I want to ask you that are listening out there in our digital listening audience on this evening. Are we guilty of living as if we don't need God? We may know him as our Savior, but be worshiping the idols of our own wisdom of self-sufficiency. Could the Lord be saying of you and I and us, they have gone far from me? We know that living far from God, it dishonors God and it displeases him. And it will never meet our deepest need. But we can return to him today. So I'm asking those of you that have left God, that have fallen from grace, and you felt like you've fallen too far from grace, I'm here to encourage your heart on today, to empower you on this afternoon, to let you know that Jesus can pick you up. Jesus can dust you off. You out, play ployee role, being one of his disciples to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to a world of unbelievers. Hallelujah. And unless you and I and us, unless we worship God, and I'm not talking about idols, I'm not talking about that charm you have around your neck, the ring that you're wearing on your finger, the bracelets that you have on your wrist. But I'm talking about a spiritual belief in a God that exists, in a God that went all the way to Calvary Mountain, hung, bled, and died for your sins and my sins and our sins. And God did not get a kick out of going to Calvary Cross because he said that much. He said that it's not my will that I go to die. But Jesus, being the obedient son that he was and that he is and that he is to come, Jesus said, no man taketh my life, but I layeth my life down. And in 3 days, Jesus conquered hell, death, and the grave. And Jesus is alive and well. He's sitting up in heaven. He's not sitting in the middle. He's not sitting in the rear. On the left. But he's sitting on the right hand side of his heavenly Father. He's looking down on planet Earth. He's looking down on his children that he created with the vapor of his mouth. He says, let there be light, and there was light. It was darkness that was upon the earth. Then God commanded it to be light, and there was light. God created man in his own image. Then God gave man a helpmeet, and that was Eve. So you see, in the beginning was God. In the end will still be God. Our lives can never be truly free, but we were made for him alone. is but idolatry. We know that the idols of self, a sorry substitute for God. We know that the evolution, hallelujah, at least the theory of evolution, it is without its problems. One scientist said that, he said in his own that amino acid would have to be arranged in an exact sequence to form a protein. Just like the letters in science, mere law of chemistry and physics cannot do that. The probability of a protein forming by chance would be 10 with 64 zeros after it. We know that many people assume the theory of evolution to be true. But can it be scientifically proven? We know that something is considered scientifically true only if it can be repeated, verified under laboratory conditions. The claim that life sprang up on its own out of a long and personal process cannot pass this test of truth. That is why evolution remains only a theory. So if you ever tempted to doubt the Genesis account of the creation story, consider the alternatives. The odds against even a simple protein creating itself are astronomical, and how much more reasonable to believe God and his word. We know that by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which are visible. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Hebrew 11 and 3. Isn't it more reasonable to believe that God designed and created the universe? You can ponder the epistle law of Genesis 1 and 1. We know that all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God, he made them all. So we know that all creations point to Almighty Creator. So I want you to add God in your everyday itinerary. Add God to the first thing that you look to when your feet hit the floor in the morning. Add God in the equation when you go to bed at night. Whisper a prayer of thanks that God carried you over the airways safely. You wasn't involved in a plane crash. God brought you back home safely, and you're here to tell the story. God would be so honored to have you to list him as first and foremost in your life. So instead of saying we don't need God, reverse that and say we do need you, God. We do need you. We need you. There's old hymn says that, oh, I need you. And every hour I need you. Hallelujah. So we know that there is not a day that goes by that we do not need God. We need God in every iota things that are in existence in yours and minds and our lives. We need God. We know that our children need God. And as you see in today's world that we have so many of our sons and our daughters that are just giving up on life. They feel like they don't have anything to live for. You know, you are the source of your son and your daughter's life. May you be a foster parent. May you be a guardian. May you be grandparents. May you be uncle and an aunt that you reared your niece and your nephew You read your grandchildren, maybe your grandson or your granddaughter, your grandnephew, your grandniece, a good friend that you just taken these children and you put them under your wings as your children to care for, to love, and to rear in the atmosphere of God, in the fearing of God. You know, our children, may they be adult. They need yours and mine and our love. They need our guidance to know that there is a God that loved them. And when they feel like they don't want to live any longer, when they feel like giving up, you are to encourage them and let them know that they are important. They are important to God. God loved them with an everlasting love, a love like no other, to introduce God to you on today. God loves you, and God proved his love, like I have far stated earlier. God proved his love for you and I over 2,000 light years ago. Hallelujah. And Jesus asked his disciples, he asked them two vital questions. He said that, who do men say that I am? And who do you say that I am? And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Mark 8 and 27 through 29. Question is significant because it allows you and I and us to get a read, hallelujah, to get a read on the minds of the people around you and I and us. The second question, however, is eternal because it is only by acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ and responding to his gift of forgiveness by faith that a person can live forever. Isaiah made it clear that when the promised Messiah came, he would fulfill the matchless title he had prophesied. He said, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, came into the world, and he proved beyond a doubt that he was and is the Messiah by fulfilling all of those requirements. He was God in human flesh, come to display deity and redeem humanity. And on the strength of his ability to fulfill all these things, he made his claim, no one come to the Father except through me. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 14 and 6. This is the claim of the Bible and the heartbeat of the Christian faith. Jesus Christ is God, came because he came into the world to save you and I and us. We were sinners, lost in sin. I'd like to ask you on today, what is your response to that claim and to the evidence that he is the only deliverer for sin? Sin, hallelujah, sin latent. People who are the object of God's love. Will you receive this gift of forgiveness and be saved on today? If you already know Jesus, will you live under his perfect will and wisdom so that he may guide you into a life that pleases him? He brings peace whenever he reigns. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And I'm going to read this last reading. Some has experienced, hallelujah, some of us can experience things that we can appreciate vigorously, and that's sympathy. We know that other experiences cannot be known unless you've been there, and that's empathy. Hallelujah, Jesus. We know that Jesus show you and I empathy. The attributes that make Jesus so attractive. Mercy and grace in times of need. That scripture reading is coming out of Hebrews 4:16. It's available to you and I and us. Because we have a high priest. We have a priest who sympathizes and empathizes with you and I and us. He's been wrapped in humanity as you and I are. We can identify with Jesus because Jesus identified with us. It's a concept that everyone appreciates and understands. We proclaim this concept when we call Jesus Emmanuel, which means God with us. He identifies with us in our human predicament. Jesus identifies with us not only in our joy, but also in our sorrows, in our poverty, and our hunger, and our suffering. Not one of us is hurt, but that he is hurt. He knows and understands disappointments. He understands agony. He understands rejections. As a great priest, he is moved with the feelings of our infirmities. Hebrews 4:16 tell us that we may come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. Whatever you may be going through on today, tonight, this morning, wherever you are on planet Earth, I want you to remember that Jesus feel it too. And we can sing this about emphasizing high priest. We know that there is not an hour that he's not near us. Hallelujah. No night so dark his love can't cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Hallelujah. We know that Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Hallelujah. Send your correspondent. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. This program has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. This program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Your host, moderator, has been Overseer Janice Ward. So now we're going to take you over to the second phase of our program entitled Hymns of Zion, to uplift your spirit and to encourage your heart. Till we meet again across these airways and skyways, I want you to go in God and allow God to go in you. Till we meet again. You go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion.
Thank you. Turning up. Yeah. hidden in the shelter of your arms. Oh Lord, it's me again. I know it hasn't been long since I made my request. I've been fighting. Feels like a war. I've gone through so many battles, but nothing like this before. You see, I've been trying, but I've been losing. But today I let it go. This is my conclusion. Only you can save me now. Only you can save me now. Oh God, you're holy. We reverence you and your presence. And today we look up, and in all of your presence, in all of your glory, and in all of your power, you're holy. You're holy to me. Take a listen.
Oh, I'll give Till we land on the shore.
emotions in your head so I can follow through. Oh, let me see what I am. Let me hear and understand. So I know that I'm with you. Now I'm caught up in the whirlwind that leads straight to you. I will never leave this place till you tell me to. Need to fool your heart, but you hear it the fire. Hear it from my heart as you desire. That's how I'm living in. Every day I live to die and live to win. A supernatural life and love when you're with me. Flowing from your heart to mine back again. That's what makes a living. Worth every heartbreak and she hears that call. The prince that ain't around no more today.
Before, but somehow it feels brand new.